Jesus said that his followers will be persecuted, even killed. But then he said, no one will be able to take away your joy. How is this possible? Coming up on Cross Connection. Welcome to Cross Connection. We are so glad you have joined us today, and we are very excited about today's topic because I know that you will be truly blessed just as we are. Sergio?
Yeah, I'm excited, and we're excited to connect with you too because today we need to hear from you because we're facing a tough topic today. Jesus said the world will hate you because of me. And sure enough, the gospel that Jesus Christ preached created a huge stir. The world reacted angrily and violently. But why? And is it still true today? So help us find out. Let's get to the bottom of this. Let's discuss today's question. What about the gospel goes against the world we live in today?
And I'm also glad because we are joined today by Jennifer, Marlon, and Martha. And Sergio, this is going to be a good discussion. And tell me, how did your week go?
It was fantastic.
It was fantastic. Yeah. But what is the highlight of your week?
Of
course. Thank you so much. And I hope this is also the highlight of your week as well. So this is going to be good because we will dive into the Word of God. But before we dive into the Word of God, I want to remind you that Cross Connection is about discovering the Word of God in its context. Mm. And what we will see, we will be surprised. And I will be surprised as well. And I hope you will be surprised. And before we dive into the context and dive into the Word, let's pray. And Jennifer, could you pray for us, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to learn from your Word. And we just ask that your Holy Spirit teach us and enlighten our hearts and our minds. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, remind me, please, what did we study last week so that we, like, what chapter are we in now?
John chapter 15.
John chapter 15, yeah, exactly. So we will cover John chapter 15, the second half of John chapter 15 and John chapter 16. But before we do that, we need to experience and understand the context. The gospel according to John can be divided into two sections. And I want us to see those two sections. It's the first section is called the Book of Signs. Mm-hmm. And second is the Book of Glory. The Book of Signs is actually first 12 chapters of the Gospel according to John. And the Book of Glory is another chapter 13 through 21. So another 8 chapters of the Gospel according to John. Mm-hmm. Now, the Book of Signs is about miracles and all miraculous signs that Jesus performed to glorify his name and the name of the Father, that he is ultimately God on earth. But the Book of Glory starts in John chapter 13. How does it start? We don't necessarily have to read John chapter 13, but tell me what is the occasion? What was happening in John chapter 13? Remind me.
Jesus is washing the feet of the disciples.
This is a very peculiar way to start the Book of Glory, is it?
Yeah. Mm.
From descending and starting washing the feet of his disciples. Mm. So what we see, the book of John is amazing because what we will see how Jesus' glory begins with the foot washing and ends, help me, how did it end?
On the cross.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The cross. And then ultimately Jesus was resurrected because it's the glorification and ultimately went to the Father. But this is the book of glory. The book of glory is this journey to the cross. Mm. But before, so Jesus washed his disciples' feet in John chapter 13. Mm-hmm. What was the location of that?
The upper room.
Okay. Yeah. And then in John chapter 14, the very last of John chapter 14, Sergio, could you remind us, what happened then?
He says, arise, let us go from here.
Okay, so arise, let us go from here, and now we will get into the Word. Let's get into the Word. So we, with the disciples of Jesus, we walk out from the upper room. Look what we see behind me. This is Jerusalem. Yeah. And behind Sergio, there is a temple. Right there, behind you, there is a temple. This is the temple. This is what the disciples of Jesus would see. Mm-hmm. The temple, Jerusalem, the streets, the lights, evening. And then Jesus says, I'm the true vine. And you are my branches. Mm. I want you to connect with me. Mm-hmm. What does it tell you about Jesus? What does the fact that Jesus says, I am the true vine and you are the branches, what does it tell you about his desire?
Well, it's like you said, like we said last week, the temple was prominently adorned with mm-hmm. vines. Mm-hmm. And so the temple was, of course, housed the presence of God. And Jesus wants to take another step further and say, it's not just presence, it's about a connection with me. I want to connect with you, not just be among you. I want to connect with you.
Mm-hmm. And this is great because he says, finally, I want you to be actually connected with me so closely mm-hmm. that even the Jews that travels through me mm-hmm. will be going to you. And then he says, I want this connection, but let me tell you what's going to happen. And then this is beautiful because we are in John chapter 15, verses 18 and 19. And Jennifer, could you read for us John chapter 15, verses 18 and 19?
If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you.
So, Jesus talks about this pure and clean connection and this connection with him. And then he says, you know what? But the world will hate you. Mm. But the world will hate you. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever experienced any persecution because you were a follower of Jesus? Okay.
You know, I never have. And maybe that's on me. I don't know. But I've never, you know, Western culture is a predominantly Christian society, at least as far as religions go. I've been, you know, attacked or hated on because of my race and other things. I grew up in the South. But, you know, so had other things, but never for my religion. Never. I can never say that that's happened.
Yeah, I think we're very fortunate and privileged in this country, you know, that we have in the United States freedom of worship, freedom to worship, freedom not to worship. Mm-hmm. And that's just not true all around the world.
Yes.
So I think we have, you know, there are people in the world who definitely experience persecution, but we're very fortunate mm-hmm. to have religious freedom. Mm-hmm.
You're blessed because, to be honest, I can say that I was really persecuted. But I remember once because we had, first of all, we needed to go to school on Saturdays, mm-hmm. and for me it was an issue because I grew up in an Adventist home, so it means that Saturday is the Sabbath, so that means that I was following the what Jesus would say. He didn't necessarily work on Sabbath. He healed people on Sabbath, but he wouldn't necessarily go to school, I would assume. So this is what was happening at my when I was growing up. And then I was once asked to play chess on Saturday because it was a competition between schools, but I didn't show up. I didn't tell anybody that I couldn't because I was supposed to be at church. I just didn't show up. And then they asked me to, the teacher asked me, why didn't you show up in the competition? I said, I couldn't, and I wouldn't say that I was at church. Because I was intimidated and I was ridiculed because, like, you didn't go because you went to church? What?
Wow.
No, people wouldn't understand that.
Yeah.
So this is what was happening. So I wouldn't even disclose that I was a Christian. Mm. Till I was in high school. Before that, I would be always trying to somehow just mm-hmm. let them know that I was somewhere else, or etc., etc.
Right.
Yeah. So it is different. But what we see here is actually Jesus says that it's even a promise. Mm. He says, you know what? You will actually be persecuted.
Yeah, and you know, I think it comes right after Jesus says, "I am the vine; you are the branches," and mm-hmm. I think. It's a natural extension of that. When you're connected to Jesus, then you start changing how you behave. And it says the world will hate you, which doesn't necessarily mean persecute you. So for instance, if you're in a situation where someone is trying to keep someone else down and mm-hmm. mistreating them, and you say, hey, wait a minute, no, and you show that person with respect and love, that person might, the other third party might not persecute you, but they won't like you. They'll hate you for being that way. So I think it's not just persecution. It's not just getting thrown in jail or something. I think if you really live out the gospel in a way that you love people, you're good to even people that other people don't want to have anything to do with, then it's going to start to gender some antagonistic feelings from other people, if not persecution.
But I would just also add that, you know, Jesus says, if I'm lifted up, I will draw everyone to me. Mm-hmm. And so some people might be angry with you because you're displaying this, you know, kindness and this grace. Other people will be attracted.
Absolutely.
And so I think, you know, it's our job just to try to show Christ to people. But I think the one thing we have to remember as Christians is to not be persecuted for the wrong reason, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're not being you know, disliked because you're arrogant and judgmental and you never have anything nice to say, but you always want to say you're a Christian. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a difference between being, you know, persecuted because you're kind, you're gracious, you're showing a Christ-like spirit versus because you're just, you know, very judgmental and very unkind.
So we see two points here. First, we can be hated by others because we are kind and we show something that the world does not necessarily accept.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or another way is sometimes we can be hated because we are judgmental.
Sure.
Or arrogant or hypocrites. Right. Ultimately. Yeah.
And I think really what Jesus is saying extends from what Jennifer said, because it's not you will be hated because of your doctrinal beliefs. Mm-hmm. The previous verse, verse 17, says, "These things I command you, that you love one another." Mm-hmm. Then he says, if the world hates you, blah, 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 blah. If the world hates you, it's going to be because of your love. Mm-hmm. That's the thing that's going to inspire the hate.
That's
that
the right
Jesus
reason to be
right,
hated.
Right, exactly. And if you're going to be hated, let it be for that.
Right.
Let's go one step further. In verse 22, and let's read verse 22. And Marlon, could you read for us verse 22? We are in John chapter 15, verse 22. Yeah, please.
And it says, "If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also."
Okay. Look what Jesus says here. What do you see in this verse? If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. Mm. But because I came, I show them sin. Mm-hmm. That is exactly the reason why they would hate Jesus. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. It reminds me of in Romans, I think, where Paul talks about when the commandments came, then I die. Mm-hmm. And so when Jesus comes around, the people that are around at that time, they probably see how sinful their sins really are. Mm-hmm. And that's when they lash out negatively.
Mm-hmm. This is a good point because it draws us back all the way to the beginning of the Gospel according to John, where Jesus says, and when John says, and he was the light of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are the light of the world, what is the purpose of the light of the world?
Yeah.
What are the purposes? What?
And it also says that he was the Word made flesh, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think it just shows us the fairness and love of God. I mean, he's not holding us to any standard that he hasn't lived out himself.
Yes.
And instead of just forcing us to figure out what the Ten Commandments meant, he actually came and lived them as an example for us. And so he's saying, I showed you what I was talking about mm-hmm. when I was here on earth, and this is all I want you to do,
yeah.
to love one another.
And I think, Oleg, what you point out in verse 22 highlights what Jennifer has been saying, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. is that there are people that are in darkness because they don't know anything better,
right.
because they're trapped in drug addiction, mm-hmm. or they're trapped in an abusive relationship, they're trapped in self-loathing and depression, and they don't know anything better. And then when they encounter the love of God, they go, wow, and they're mm-hmm. drawn to it, and then that's all you want. But then there are people that are in darkness because they choose it.
Yes.
And now then they have their sin because they've seen the love of God. They have literally seen it face to face, and they still say no.
Mm-hmm. And
so it's two very different things.
And in fact, they start persecuting that light because they're like, mm-hmm. oh, you disclose that I am bad. I'm not bad. I'm mm-hmm. good at what I am. Mm-hmm. And I'm good at this point. So if you point to me, and you don't, Jesus never pointed that somebody was bad. Mm-hmm. Did he?
No.
He said, who is without sin, just throw a stone at her. Remember, we read in John
sure.
chapter 8.
Sure.
Did he say, oh, you hypocrite, you have got something? He just started writing something.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Sure.
And everybody was like, oh. Of course, he would and another occasion in the Gospel according to Matthew, he would say, woe to you hypocrites. But he would never point to somebody else. He would say, no, you hypocrites, mm-hmm. because I am a hypocrite. We are all hypocrites. I hope you're not. But we may be. But this is fascinating because then in John chapter 16, and now we go to John chapter 16, and I am glad because we will continue our study after this very short break. And I promise it will be a short break, but don't go anywhere because Jesus says that you will be persecuted and even killed in the beginning of John chapter 16. But then he says there is a great promise. And there is a hope of promise of hope and encouragement. It's the spirit of truth.
That's right. And Oleg, we're going to jump into a really tough conversation on what about the gospel makes the world react angrily towards it. So take the time to answer our question. What about the gospel most goes against the world we live in today?
Welcome back to Cross Connection. We are discussing the beautiful, beautiful, beautiful chapter in the Gospel according to John. Sometimes it's overlooked, but it's beautiful because Jesus talks about persecution here. Mm-hmm. Jesus, not necessarily persecution, but hatred.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Hatred of the world towards the light that is brought by Jesus Christ himself and is also, and we will discover this also in a little bit. We will discover this also in a little bit. But John chapter 16, verse 1 and 2. And Martha, could you read for us John chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, please?
Of course.
This is the promise, actually. This is the promise that Jesus gives. It's the prophecy almost. Mm-hmm. Let's read this prophecy of Jesus.
Okay. These things I have spoken to you, that you should not be made to stumble. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God's service.
Mm. Oh.
Wow.
Yeah, it is wow. Mm. Wow, because it's painful. Wow. Wait a second. Yeah. What is happening?
I mean, I think we see it right away in Acts, mm-hmm. you know, with mm-hmm. the disciples of Jesus immediately being persecuted by, you know, Saul before he was converted. So, and Saul thought he was, you know, just guarding the truth about God by persecuting the followers of Jesus.
Mm-hmm. And he was being so sincere about it.
Right.
Yeah. He was truly zealous about it, and he felt like he was doing the will of God, like mm-hmm. it says right here.
Wow. And it continues throughout all of even Christian history. I mean, mm-hmm. if you look at Christian history, some truly horrible things have been done in the name of God. Mm-hmm. When you look at the Crusades or the Inquisitions or mm-hmm. even to more modern times, some truly awful things have been done in the name of God. So what Jesus is talking about here, me and my light versus the world, is not a secular world and church, so-called church, religious world thing. It's just anyone who has the love of God in their heart and the people that don't. And so it really kind of opens your mind to the possibilities of what we need to be careful about.
Would you agree that sometimes we can encounter some sort of hatred and something what we just read about, even within our own church?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
But, yeah.
And I think when you read this to me appears to be that Jesus is writing to a Christian audience or to mm-hmm. to God's people, because it says that you'll be thrown out of the synagogue. Mm-hmm. So
those
it tells me that it's the people of God that will do it, thinking that they're doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. It's not like some other group that's coming in and doing it.
This is very interesting because I would like us to take a look at the synagogue, the first century synagogue. Mm-hmm. First, most of the time when we think about the synagogue, we think about the church. We think that this is just like the church. And this is what you see on the screen. It's also the synagogue. But the synagogue was actually the place where you couldn't worship God in the first century. Right. Mm. Why? Because you could worship God only in the temple. Mm. If you would worship God in any other place, that would mean that you worship another God. Because God exists only, there is only one God.
One place only.
One place and only one place, one place only, exactly, because there is one God. But if you worship in different places, worship God in different places, that means that you worship different gods. Mm. So, but you could pray in the synagogues, you could study the scripture in the synagogue, mm-hmm. and you could learn or memorize the scripture also in the synagogues. So the synagogue, it was a social life. Mm. Mm. Social life, but...
Wow, okay.
But we need to remember that social life and religious life, they were very closely, how would you put it?
Intertwined. Yeah.
Very closely, thank you very much. Yeah. Intertwined to an extent that there was no difference between religious life and social life because they're all one.
That's amazing, because I think that is the call as Christians, that our social life should mm-hmm. be in one with the life that we live on the Sabbath. It shouldn't be totally different. The life that we live on Saturday shouldn't be completely different on Thursday, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and so on and so forth. So that's interesting how, when you look at the sanctuary from back then, how you can see that correlation between mm-hmm. the sanctuary and society and what we're called to do today as Christians.
Exactly. But then in the middle of this, Jesus says, you know what? You will be actually cast out mm-hmm. from the society even.
Wow. Mm.
Because the world wouldn't accept you. Mm. And why the world wouldn't accept them? Tell me why. Why doesn't... Yeah.
They were followers of Jesus because they did not accept him before.
Exactly.
And I think it's so beautiful here at the beginning when we were reading verse 18 that it said that the world would hate you because they hated me before. And Jesus is setting up the example and saying, it's because of me, and I have suffered the same that you will suffer. You will not be alone in this. Mm-hmm. And it brings like some comfort for us to know that Jesus also suffered this.
And this leads us to another very important point that we will just unveil to now. And I'm looking forward to this, that we will be discussing together. So look what happens when we talk about the disciples, and when we talk especially about the Last Supper. What was the time of the year when it was happening? Could you help me?
Spring.
Passover. The Passover. Yeah, exactly. It was spring. It was, yes, you're right. Spring.
Extra
it was
points.
Spring, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
The Passover. So it was very close to the Passover. In fact, according to the Gospel, according to John, the next day was supposed to be the Passover. Mm-hmm. So it's just there nearing this great festival. What was that festival about? Help me. What was the main theme of the festival of the Passover?
The Passover. Exodus. Oh, yeah.
The Passover. The Exodus.
Yes.
The Exodus from where?
Out of slavery, out of Egypt, out of, you know, bondage.
Exactly. Out of slavery, out of Egypt, into?
Freedom.
Into freedom. Freedom.
Yeah. Into freedom, into the promised land. This is so great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, look what happens. In Matthew chapter 21, Mark chapter 11, don't go there.
Okay.
Luke chapter 19. All those, like, basically all synoptic gospels, the ones that see it in one accord, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all talk about Jesus entering Jerusalem in this beautiful procession on a donkey.
Uh-huh. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And everybody, what are people shouting when Jesus is entering?
Hosanna.
Hosanna to the son of David, which means Hosanna to the king.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The king is entering Jerusalem. He is ultimately the one who will free them from the Romans.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, and imagine the disciples, they're like, yes, finally,
right.
Our Messiah is here. Yeah. Finally, we will get rid of Romans. Finally, no one will hate us anymore. No one will be persecuting us. Our sorrows will be gone.
Mm-hmm.
Look what Jesus says in John chapter 16. No. The freedom that I am going to bring is different.
You're not heroes. You're going to be outcasts.
Mm-hmm. You will be outcasts. They're shattered. Their hopes are shattered. Devastated.
Yeah.
They're devastated. And I'm looking forward to what we will discover now, because there is a great hope in this as well.
Oh, yes.
So what we will do, we will take a look at the hidden treasure of this chapter. And this is the topic, actually, of today's hidden treasure. So check it out. Celebrations play a huge role in our lives. It seems that we always have something to celebrate. Birthdays, weddings, anniversaries, our country's independence, and today's hidden treasure is about another celebration, the Passover. You see, for the Israelites, the Passover was one of the most important festivals because it was a celebration of freedom. The Israelites were led by God out of Egypt, out of slavery, into the freedom of the Promised Land. But after the Israelites entered the Promised Land, they did not really experience true freedom. Time and again, they were captured by different nations. The situation was especially bad during the first century when the Romans had essentially enslaved the nation of Israel. Because of this, people were eagerly anticipating a new Exodus that would be led by the Messiah, who would guide people out of slavery and into freedom. It was during this time that Jesus, the Messiah, came, and he did lead people out of slavery. But to people's surprise, it was not from the slavery of the Romans. The disciples were devastated when Jesus said that he was going away. To make things even worse, they were told that they would be put out of the synagogues and even killed. What about a new Exodus that the Passover was all about? What about the freedom that they've been waiting for? But then Jesus says something simply amazing. In John 16, verse 13, we read, "When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth." But what does that mean? Jesus explains it in John chapter 8, verse 32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." During the Passover, the disciples were expecting a new physical exodus out of bondage into freedom. But Jesus offers a freedom beyond the physical flesh. He gives freedom of the spirit. So later on, when the disciples were chained, persecuted, and even killed, they were always free because the Spirit of God was with them. Just as He led the Israelites out of slavery, God wants to lead you out of slavery to sin into the truth. And the truth shall set you free. And that's today's hidden treasure. Welcome back. We just talked about the Exodus.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And why do we think it is important for us, Christians even today, to take into consideration that Exodus that people experienced many, many centuries ago? And what do we learn from that?
There was a lot of examples of God's protection and God's guidance throughout and how He constantly delivered them and He had a purpose for them. And He also transformed them from slaves into His people throughout that journey. So it's an example of transformation.
Amen.
But I think even in that Exodus, you know, the purpose of, you know, Exodus and the freedom was so that they could be a nation of priests. It wasn't just for their benefit, but it was also so that they could be of benefit to others. And so I think when Jesus came, it was sort of the ultimate fulfillment of Him wanting His people to be the light to the world, which, you know, everyone, you know, I guess the nation had failed, but there were people from that nation who would be the foundation of the church.
But wait a second, because when Jesus was talking about, the disciples were talking about Jesus as thinking about Jesus as the one who would come and free them from all their troubles and problems and sorrows.
Mm-hmm.
Today, we know that Jesus came. Mm-hmm. But our sorrows are still here. Our hatred is still here. We still don't love our neighbors, or neighbors don't love us. Like, what is happening with this world? It seems like nothing has changed.
Right.
Well, it's just there's a bigger slavery than just the Egyptians or the Romans' power. There is a slavery of sin. And that's what has been happening throughout history with different, and it's still happening today.
But do you feel that you're free today? Do you feel that you're free today?
Yes.
Go ahead, Marlon.
Yeah, I feel like I'm free today because, you know, the bondage of addictions and different things that I had in my life prior to being a Christian, I no longer have those struggles. Like for me, I was so addicted to like the music of the world. It's not even funny. I grew up in the era of like Napster, where you could download endless amount of music, and when I came to Christ, I really struggled to let that go. And so that's one of the struggles that I actually offered to God in prayer, and I saw that He pulled that away from me. And now when I, if I hear it like indirectly, it's repulsive to me, and I can't believe that that's something that I struggled to let go of. And so I know that God saves, and He gives us the power to be free from the addictions of this world, or the sins of the world.
Mm-hmm. So of this world, ultimately, yeah. Mm-hmm. Everything in this world.
But He still frees us from the spiritual bondage.
Mm-hmm. But this is fascinating because when Jesus talks to His disciples, He says, yes, you will experience this hatred. Yes, you will experience this. You will be even cast out of the synagogues. But let me tell you, there is something great that is ahead, which is we can read in John chapter 16, verse 7 and verse 8. And Jennifer, could you read for us verse 7 and verse 8 of John chapter 16?
Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. And when He has come, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment.
And let me tell you something. And Sergio, if you could turn to NIV, NIV okay. for this verse, which is John chapter 16, verse 7. And this is fascinating because we just read that people will be judged by the world. Is this what we read?
Yes.
It's the language of court.
Mm-hmm.
You will be judged by the world. You will be you will be cast out from the synagogues. Mm-hmm. In other words, imprisoned. You will be also killed. This is the capital punishment, mm-hmm. for because the world does not accept you. And look what language we can find in NIV, which is the same is a different translation of the same verse.
But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you.
So who will come? Helper, and then the another word is?
The advocate.
The advocate. Mm-hmm. So if we are in this, imagine in the same courtroom, mm-hmm. so what will happen is simply amazing. Think about it for a second. Mm-hmm. It's what we read about. We read that, okay, so you will be taken into, you will be judged. Mm-hmm. You will be prosecuted mm-hmm. by the world. But then Jesus says, wait a second. I have another advocate who will come to you and he will defend you. But when he will be defending you, read verse 8 again for us, please. John chapter 16, verse 8, and please follow us. Don't go anywhere. Follow us.
And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment.
What will happen? Look what happens. He's an advocate, but then he turns tables upside down and he says, now he's the prosecutor. So everything is reversed. Do we see it? Do we really see it? If you don't, let us know. Just text us. So you are persecuted and hated. You are cast out from the synagogues. You are finally killed. But then he says, wait a second. The advocate, the helper is here. The one who will be defending you. But while defending you, not only defending you, he will actually say, you know what? I will convict the world, but I will defend you. So the tables are turned upside down. But his conviction is so beautiful. Mm. And his judgment is so great that there is nothing to worry about. But there is something to rejoice about. Mm-hmm. Because the judgment that the Spirit brings is amazing. And we will learn about it after the break. And don't forget that we have a question specifically for you. So let us know.
That's right. And there are plenty of people that haven't forgotten that. They've sent in their comments. We're going to take your comments right when we come back. For those of you, now's the time to have your voice heard that haven't commented. Answer our question, what about the gospel goes against the world we live in today?
The study of the Word of God sets our hearts on fire. And if you feel the same, don't keep it to yourself.
Well, guess what? Some people feel the same way.
Excellent.
So I'm going to jump in with some comments. I'm going to take Beth's comment from Facebook first because she was first out of the gate. Beth has a good one-word answer. Maybe doesn't narrow it down that much for us, but Beth says everything.
Okay.
Everything about the gospel goes against the world we live in today. So thanks, Beth, for your comment. We have a comment from Pikesville SDA Youth Society is commenting for us today. Marlon, I don't know if you're responsible for that or not, but they have a cool comment. They said, you are seen as being different, sometimes perceived to be acting better than others, which is an allusion to what Jennifer was saying before, that sometimes there's that perspective. I'll be jumping in one more comment. Eddie Bukala says, some things that go against the world about the gospel is to credit God. Praying before a meal in the cafeteria or having a Bible open on your desk at work, thanking God aloud. The world praises man and the luck of evolution for where we are today. This is so not what the gospel says. We are here today and any good we may have is because of God, not us, whether it's politically correct or not. Thank you everyone who's sent us in your comments and we're going to take more throughout the show.
Excellent. Thank you very much. We just learned that there is a progression. This, even in this gloomy and doomy message that Jesus presents, he just told his disciples that I will be going away, mm-hmm. and but I want you to remain in me. And because you remain in me, the world will actually hate you. Mm. The world will actually put you out of the synagogues, and they will ultimately even kill you. But in the midst of that, trust me, there is a great hope. He says. Mm-hmm. He says, it's great that I am going away, because the one who will come after me is the advocate. Mm-hmm. He is the helper. He will be with you, and he will protect you. But at the same time, he will convict the world.
Yeah.
And now let me ask you a question. How will this advocate, helper, convict the world?
Well, I think, you know, when he says convict the world of sin, mm-hmm. I think he's talking about changing people's hearts. Because that is what God wants to do. He doesn't want to go around and, you know, not save people. But he sent his Holy Spirit to work on everyone's heart the same way he worked on Saul's heart until he changed his mind and stopped persecuting the church. I think that is the mission of the Holy Spirit, and that's what he wants to do.
Yeah.
And to add to that, in verse 8, it goes on to say that also righteousness. So the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts after we have been convicted, and if we repent our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us and lead us to all unrighteousness. And then it's in that walk with Christ where we really see the righteousness of God, and our heart is broken to know that God loves us so much that, you know, he sent his son to die for us. And throughout the history of the Bible, he sends different patriarchs and prophets to tell us the same message, that God is love. Mm-hmm. And when he works in the heart of each individual that believe, it breaks your heart. So the Holy Spirit has a work there also.
This is so great. But if you look at the context of the gospel according to John, and especially John chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17, the book of glory, mm-hmm. the word that Jesus used most pretty much in every chapter, he says, I want you to be one. Mm. I want you to love each other. Like even in Sergio, the verse that you just read in verse 17, chapter 15, verse 17, that you love one another. Mm. These things I command you, that you love one another. It's mm-hmm. like, love one another, love one another. It's like, yep. mm-hmm. basically, look what happens here. He says that you are responsible for revealing me,
yeah.
me to this world.
Yes.
Think about this greatest responsibility that we are having.
Yeah, well, and it's not even a responsibility because of the Spirit. And really, you know, the Spirit is really the ultimate thing that we have as Christians, even beyond what Jesus was, because Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, but Jesus was in one place and one time. Mm-hmm. Then after, we have something even better, which is the Spirit, which is that all of us can experience a connection with God, no matter where you are, no matter where you are in life, where you are on the planet, you can be connected to God because of the Spirit. And then when you experience that, your sorrow will always turn to joy, as Jesus says.
This is great. Let's jump to 1 John. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Easy to remember, and I would like us to remember. John 4:4. Okay. Sergio, could you read for us? Yes.
You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world.
Them, he talks, when John talks about the world. Mm-hmm. Them, it means the world, not necessarily people, that we need to overcome people. No. Christianity is not about overcoming people. It's about the world, the tears of this world. Mm-hmm. And look what it says here. You are of God, little children, mm-hmm. and you have overcome the world because he who is in you. Mm-hmm. Let's just let it sink in. Yeah. He who is in you is greater than the entire world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just one in you. Mm-hmm. The one who is in you is much greater than the entire world, that all the addictions that are anywhere in this mm-hmm. world, mm-hmm. that then sorrows of this world, then pain of this world, then hurt of this world.
And you know, when you start to get the Spirit and what it means, it makes sense why, you know, like prophecy tells a lot about how the Spirit will be poured out in the end times. Mm-hmm. Because really in our times, the Spirit is the last true bastion of the Christian experience. Mm-hmm. You can attack my belief. People try to attack belief on scientific ground. They try and attack belief on theological ground. They try and attack belief from all kinds of angles. But there's something that you cannot take away from me, which is the love of God through his Spirit in my heart. And I know God through that. And there's nothing you can do to take it away from me. And anyone can experience it. And that's why Jesus says, no one will be able to take away your joy.
Mm-hmm. And I guess I would just add, you know, I think that is why, as Christians, we shouldn't judge people, because the same way the Holy Spirit has worked in our hearts to convict us, mm-hmm. to keep us in relationship with God, I think it's an ongoing work of the Holy Spirit, you know, keeping us in harmony with God's will and leading us into repentance. That same Holy Spirit who works in our heart is also at work in other people's heart. Mm-hmm. Yes. We may not see the fruit of it right away, but that's not for us to see. It's for us to pray for them and to, you know, be patient and know that that same thing that's happened in our life is also going to happen in their life.
And no wonder why Apostle Paul later on in Galatians, he would speak the fruit of the Spirit, because he wanted, it's just God's message. Mm-hmm. God wants us to experience this fruit that we will bear automatically. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It will just come to us because, like, God, we love the world, we love everybody because God first loved us.
Right.
That's it. This is the answer to everything. And then as a reaction to that, it's just the world will start seeing the fruits and they will be like, I want to bear the same fruits. Mm. Yeah. I want to be just like you. That's why Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he would say, imitate me. Mm. Mm-hmm. And then he gives an example. That's just as I imitate Jesus. Yeah. Mm. So this is what we want to experience, don't we?
Amen.
Okay, we want to imitate Jesus truly. Okay, let's move on. And then this is something simply amazing because what we will come to, it will, in later on, we see in the same chapter, chapter 16, verse 20. Verse 20, and Martha, could you read for us verse 20 of this chapter, yes.
Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice, and you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into joy.
So, Jesus didn't say that if you, did Jesus say that if you come and join my church, you will have no troubles, no problems, you will be driving BMW, and you will have your bathroom full, like, will be made of gold, etc., etc., etc. Imagine whatever you want to imagine. what did Jesus say?
That we will weep and lament and will be sorrowful.
So he said, yes, just because I have experienced the same thing. Because the world hated me. The world hates me. Mm-hmm. The world will hate you. But wait a second. What did he say then? But your sorrow
will turn into joy.
Into full joy.
And that's because God gives us all freedom of choice. So as, you know, followers of Christ, we have the option of treating people kind, of being loving, of showing Christ to others. But people also have the choice. They can not behave that way. Mm. And we still live together in this world. And as a result, you know, we're going to face persecution from people who do not, you know, live like Christ. But he's like, that's okay, because, you know, it's going to be fine.
Well, I really like the example that he gives right after about the woman in labor, mm-hmm. because it provides like a picture for us to see how during a little bit it's going to be bad, it's going to be painful, we're going to be persecuted, we're going to be lament. And if you've seen a woman in labor, I've never been in labor, but I can't imagine. That's a lot of pain. And but right after, everything else is forgotten because there's so much joy that the little baby will bring. And I think that's what's so beautiful, that Jesus promises the Comforter, and that name that he gives of Comforter, because it's going to be so much joy out of somebody that is comforting you and a new presence. Mm-hmm.
This is so great, and very often we talk about it as a future promise. Mm-hmm. So let's just get by this, like the 60 years, 70 years, 80 mm-hmm. years, 90 years, 110 years, who is lucky. So let's just live these years on earth, and then we will get this great joy. But wait a second. What Jesus is saying is slightly different. Mm-hmm. And we will find out why it's slightly different right after the break. But
we want to let you know this is the last chance to respond to our question, what about the gospel goes against the world we live in today?
Welcome back. We are discussing how Jesus is saying that you will experience joy and sorrow. And he says even that you will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned into wonderful joy.
Yes.
Into this wonderful joy. And then, but as we talked before the break, we often think about it as something that will come only when Jesus will come again his second time. But is it really what Jesus is saying here only? Mm-hmm. In addition to that, there is something more, something greater.
I'm thinking about a previous cross connection, Oleg. Like I'm jumping way back to Matthew.
Okay.
When we were looking at the verse, the story, the parable that Jesus gave of the builders. You know, the two builders, they were both building their homes. One built it on the rock. The other built it on the shaky sand. And I think our takeaway in that lesson applies here, because what we talked about was the fact that, you know, you're going to have troubles in the world, and people who are not in Christ are also going to have troubles in the world. But the question is, when you're having those troubles, when you're facing persecution or whatever, who do you want to have by your side? You know, I want to have the Comforter. I want to have Jesus. You know, I think there is so much peace in just knowing that whatever comes your way, God is going to be with you.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's so important because really when Jesus, this sorrow and grief that Jesus is referring to is the fact that his disciples are sad that he's just told them that he's going to go away. Mm-hmm. And this guy that was going to deliver them and that they were going to be the right-hand man of is going away. And that's why they're sad. And so that can apply to us as well, that really it's the knowledge of a resurrected Jesus Christ, one mm-hmm. who is accessible right now through his Spirit that always brings joy. So even this sorrow and stuff that we're talking about, it's really, that was the source of it for the disciples, mm-hmm. not having full faith in the power of Jesus Christ and what he was and what his mission was all about.
And I would like us to jump to the Gospel according to Acts. Okay. To the book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 22. And verse 22, and then we will jump to verse 25. So in the book of Acts, we read the story about Paul and Silas. They are at Philippi. Mm-hmm. Chapter 16, verses 22, and then we'll jump to 25. And
I have it.
Yeah, okay. Martha, could you read for us? Verse 22.
Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods.
So look what happens here. So Paul and Silas, they're in prison. They're just taken over. They're beaten with the rods. Mm-hmm. They're even put in prison. And verse 24, and Jennifer, could you read verse 24?
Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks.
So their feet are in the stocks.
Wow. Yeah.
But look what their reaction was in verse 25. Sergio, what is their reaction?
I actually don't have it right now. Okay. Ola, can you get someone else?
Yeah, and Marlon, could you read for us, please?
It says, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them.
Wait a second. What is happening here? Yeah. This
wow.
is, what is it? What is it? Tell me.
That's
what
like a supernatural. Yeah, that's yeah. like a supernatural reaction to a terrible situation, right? That's just not normal. Right. Mm-hmm. But it's what God wants to do. He wants to give you that crazy peace.
Exactly. Crazy peace and crazy joy. Like, yeah. What are you talking about? Whoa! This is exactly, and that is why in in the Epistle to Philippians, right. Apostle Paul would write, rejoice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this is the joy that the presence of the advocate mm-hmm. brings. Mm-hmm. And then he literally comforts us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then he literally can convict the others. But not because he wants to condemn the world, but because he wants to save the world.
That's powerful.
Okay, until we will read the final verse, and this is the time when we can actually get the most comments from you, so make sure to do that. The final verse of John chapter 16, the very last verse, verse 33. And Jennifer, could you read for us verse 33?
John chapter 16 verse 33. Okay. Mm-hmm. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
Mm-hmm. What does it tell you about Jesus? What does it tell you about the act of Jesus on this earth?
That he came and died for us, and he fought the battle for us. We already won. We don't have to fight our own battles. Yeah. Like, he already gave us the victory. He already overcome the world, the world that is going to hate us. He already mm-hmm. has the victory over it.
Yeah, there's nothing that this world can throw at us that was not overcome at the cross. Mm-hmm. There's mm-hmm. nothing that we can experience that wasn't already beaten, vanquished at the cross. And I want to jump in with some comments to our questions. I'm going to go with Ren, who has a good comment on Facebook talking about the nature of the world and how that reveals why the gospel opposes it. Ren says, tough question. The gospel reveals God and promotes love, life, freedom, truth, and peace. The world shuns God and promotes hatred, death, enslavement, lies, and strife. The gospel and the world, love and hatred, are at war. Therefore, anyone who loves according to the gospel will be persecuted. Nevertheless, we must not lose hope, for in God's love, we are victors. So I love that comment. I think it really, really sums things up really well. I'll just jump on another anonymous text message comment. It says, enjoying the topic this evening. And I just want to turn that around and say we're enjoying all of the comments that we're receiving from you, our viewers. Keep it up in the next few minutes. And also, if you do send a text message, put your name there. We want to thank you in person. This one is just anonymous. But I'll jump in with more comments later, yeah. Oleg.
Praise God. And so we just saw that Jesus actually said before, it was literally, he was nearing the death on the cross. Mm-hmm. And he says, but take courage, be of good cheer. Mm. Be of good cheer when? When Jesus just spoke about the persecution and hatred. Mm-hmm. When Jesus is saying that a little while and I will not be with you anymore. Mm-hmm. But then a little while and I will come back. But be of good courage. Mm. Mm-hmm. Just rejoice, mm-hmm. because I have overcome the mm-hmm. world. Wow. And in John chapter 1, verse 5, let's go there for 1 second. John chapter 1, verse 5, 1 second, I promise just 1 second. It says, and the light shines in the darkness, mm-hmm. and the darkness did not... What does it say in your Bibles?
Comprehended.
But in fact, it's actually in Greek and some other translation, it says, but the darkness did not... overcame, did not overcome.
Overcome it, mm-hmm. yeah.
But the darkness did not overcome
yeah.
it, light.
And really, Oleg, it makes so much sense when you think, how did Jesus overcome it? How did the Book of Glory begin? Mm-hmm. By Jesus being like a servant and washing his disciples' feet. He shows a completely different type of greatness there. You know, it makes me think of our study in Matthew. We studied Matthew 20 when Jesus talks about what greatness is. I'm just going to read a verse there really quick. He says, but Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. And he goes on to say, but it shall not be so with you. If you want to be great, be a servant. And that's actually how you overcome the world. And if you're following that philosophy, the world, which is about puffing myself up relative to you, I need mm-hmm. to be better than you in order to be great, make more money than you, have better status than you. The gospel is about we are all children of God. Mm-hmm. And that's a threat to the basic structure that this world operates under.
And that is why Jesus overcame the world. Yes, please, Martha.
And that's a beautiful example of how do we need to react when people treat us bad? Mm. How do we... Yeah. Turn the other cheek, as Jesus told us to do. Every time that somebody is persecuting us, we need to serve. We need to love them. And it's so hard for us. Mm-hmm. But that's what we have with the Holy Spirit. He's going to help us with that.
Absolutely.
And we have a couple comments that go right in line with that I'll just read really quick. Casey has a comment on Facebook that's talking about that. It says, grace is what is gone against most, going against the mm-hmm. world, because it brings pride to the end of itself. And pride mm-hmm. is everywhere. One more comment really quick. Judy May says, putting God and others first. You are loved before you are good enough. This is exactly what we're talking about, is that serving, putting other people first. Don't try to be above other people. Put other people above you, and you're being just like Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Praise God, praise God. I've learned a lot today, and I hope you also did. Yeah, thank you so much, Jennifer. Thank you, Marlon. Thank you, Martha. And this has been a great study. I learned
Amen.
A lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Praise God, yeah, praise God. Jesus said that the world will hate and even will kill his followers. But then he concluded his message with these words, in me, you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, rejoice. I have overcome the world for your sake. The Spirit of truth can guide us into all truth that will inevitably lead us to freedom and true joy. The truth that Jesus is talking about is not a doctrine or a set of rules, but it is a true freedom that can be experienced by knowing God in Jesus Christ. Having this freedom in your life, it will bring you complete joy, even in the midst of persecution and sorrow and pain. Until next week, let's connect with Jesus in our everyday life. And also, don't forget about Cross Connection next week.